Penny, you're 57 years today. Glad to share it with you. So thank you so much. Penny, you sexy old bitch. Thanks for not dying in a ditch. Thank you for putting up with me and countless others. You're a fucking saint from ones to another. Congrats on 57 year, my favorite atheist witch.
You're funny, Mark. I'm Penny and I don't drink. I think that's the point of this meeting, not drinking. I never know where to begin. I always think that a speaker is to relate to the newcomer. And I hear people talking about, good grief, all I heard was about their drink and they didn't even talk about sobriety. But relating to a newcomer is important to me, simply because when I was new, the things that I wanted to hear were the stories of people so I could relate in, so I could compare in. And I think that's important to do. I think it's important to compare in. And I drank for about 15 years. And if you break it down, the first 5 years I drank on occasion. The second 5 years I created occasions. And the third 5 years, every day was an occasion. And the first time I drank, I puked my guts out. I ended up with a horrible hangover, waking up the next morning in a bed that smelled of vomit. And the next time I got seriously drunk, I was in Ann Arbor, Michigan at football weekend, and I puked spaghetti all over my date's roommate's car, and the interior of the car. And had to go to his parents' house for dinner the next day. And it was the most horrible experience at that time of my life. I just didn't feel like eating. I thought I was going to get sick. It was just horrible. I couldn't wait to get home. And when I look back at my drinking, I had a lot of drinking experiences just like that. And I had a lot of drinking experiences where I just made a total ass of myself. It was not fun. It was humiliating. And we moved many times in my sobriety. Or in my drinking days, maybe 11 times in about 10 years. And to me, that's a lot. And it wasn't because my husband was in the service or his job was taking him different places. That had nothing to do with it. It had to do with the fact that we were getting into debt and ended up selling our house to get equity out and buying another one. And it was a disaster. Finally, we were renting and ended up being evicted because we couldn't pay the rent. And during that time, I had 7 children the oldest was 7 for 1 month when my sixth and seventh child were born. And my life was unmanageable, and I didn't think it was. When I came into AA, I would have told you, under the circumstances, I thought I managed pretty well. Thank you very much. And I didn't realize how badly we had mismanaged everything. The difficult times that I had during my drinking. When I was 20, my parents committed suicide. I never healed from that drinking. I didn't heal from that until I was sober about a year. And when I was sober 3 years, my brother died of this disease. He bled to death with cirrhosis of the liver. And I healed from that much more quickly than I ever healed from my parents. The last move we made was to Virginia, and I kept, with every move, you think, oh, I hope things are different. Maybe things will be different, and they never were. And we came down from Michigan to Virginia. And after 30 days, it was still the same. And I thought, everything is the same. Maybe I've got to do the change. And that's when I called AA. And the next night, I went to a meeting. I had not had anything to drink that day. Went to a meeting, and that was January 29th, 1968. And I'll never forget the meeting was on the first step. And the only thing I could relate to was the powerless over alcohol. And what I said was, I spend my days hungover and I spend my nights drinking or passing out. And that was unmanageability as far as I was concerned. That was the powerlessness. Alcohol had me. I was either hungover or trying to get over a hangover and drinking. Anyway, I didn't drink. I complained a lot, complained an awful lot about when people would talk about God taking care of them and God doing this for him and God do it. And I thought, didn't they ever hear the slogan that God does for you what, or God will only do for you what you cannot do for yourself? Anyway, it got to a point where God was finding people parking places at the supermarket. And it just drove me crazy. And that's when I got help with the idea of love, which was a gift. because I could buy the idea that if I was trying to be patient, I would be less impatient. And if I was trying to be kind, I would be less unkind. I got that. That just made all kinds of sense to me. So I tried to practice the principles of love. And the results were always positive. So it reinforced the fact that that's what I should do. When you're getting positive results from something, keep doing it. Keep doing what you're doing. If you're getting negative results, change what you're doing. And that's what they told me in AA. So that's what I tried to do. And, it's strange. I've been through a divorce sober. I got remarried. As time went on, I came across bird carving and decided to find out what that was like. And I started carving birds. And I carved birds for about 15 years. And the first 5 years, I had taken over 100 awards. It was incredible. It was an incredible experience. And when I was new in sobriety, a lady gave me an old sewing machine. And I didn't think I could sew, but I tried. And by the time my daughters got married, I made their wedding gowns and bridesmaids' dresses. The whole idea of doing things over and over and over again and getting better at it. I drank over and over and over, and I got damn good at it. But it never dawned on me. If I made a mistake on doing something, I'd throw it out and say I can't do it. Everything was I can't when I was drinking. And I started saying I'll try with sobriety. I'll try to do this. I'll try to make this. I'll try to make something else. And pretty soon I got good at it. And that was great. I ended up, quitting carving because my husband had Lewy body disease. And Lewy body disease is sort of half Parkinson's and half Alzheimer's. And I had to take care of him. And I took care of him for 5 years until he died. And that was a gift. I'll never forget his best friend coming in the house after he died saying, "That's the cleanest death I've ever seen." Because we all just loved him. And we took care of him. And I'm so grateful for that period of time. I told one of his friends, "I cherished and was grateful for every minute I had with him. But when he died, I was grateful I didn't have 1 minute more." And because you end up ready when you have an illness like that. You end up ready to accept everything that goes on. If somebody drops dead of a heart attack, Nobody's prepared. Nobody has any inkling, and the grieving process is so much worse. I had a long time to know that, I grieve for every piece of independence that he lost. And that's just about the way it was. It wasn't easy. I don't think it was easier than had he dropped dead of a heart attack. But it was in little bites, a little bite at a time. And that was in 2000. And since then, I haven't done a whole lot of important shit except going to AA meetings, 12-stepping people, taking care of pigeons, and just enjoying my sobriety and trying to enjoy my life. And I've had a fabulous life. I am so grateful. AA has given me all the tools I need to be a virtually happy, constructive human being. I always say I live with a peaceful heart, and that's true. And that is the biggest gift in the world. Thanks.